clearly, with the closure of Bagram, the locus of our efforts are in and around Kabul at this point.
The United States vacates Afghan airbase. It's Monday, July 5th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, new citizens celebrate U.S. birthday and Independence Day from COVID. New York returns to life. Wooden U.S. flags. A new look at the first U.S. president. It's all on today's VOA Asia. U.S. forces have left Bagram Airfield, the main American base in Afghanistan, and handed control over to Afghan National Security Forces. But as VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb reports, that does not mean the ongoing American troop withdrawal is complete.
For nearly two decades, Bagram Airfield served as the center of the U.S. fight to remove Taliban forces from power and take down al-Qaeda terrorists. Its handover is one of the final steps before the United States completes its troop withdrawal. But President Joe Biden put to rest speculation the U.S. would complete its exit around July 4th, the U.S. Independence Day.
Is the drawdown going to be done in the next few days?
No. No, we're on track exactly as to where we expect it to be. But I wanted to make sure there was enough, quote, running room that we wouldn't be able to do it all to September.
And the Pentagon suggested Friday the completion could still be weeks away.
I mean, the president made it clear that he wanted the drawdown complete by early September. We believe we're going to be able to complete this process by the end of August. Clearly, with the closure of Bagram, the locus of our efforts are in and around Kabul at this point.
With U.S. airstrike capabilities out of Afghanistan, the U.S. will now rely on aircraft based more than 1,000 kilometers away to continue its counter-terror fight against Islamic State and al-Qaeda. General Frank McKenzie, the head of U.S. Central Command, told VOA in a recent interview.
They come from a long way. It's a long haul to get forces, aircraft into Afghanistan from over the horizon.
But Bagram, losing it. Clearly, that's going to make things much more difficult.
It's going to be difficult. It's not going to be impossible.
Giving up that base is a real loss for American national security interests.
Bradley Bowman is a defense expert with the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, who flew Black Hawk helicopters in Afghanistan.
We're going to be have less visibility, less agility, less capability in taking the fight to our enemies in Terrorism Central. That's what's happening as a result of this political decision, this timeline-based, precipitous, conditions-ignoring, commander advice-ignoring withdrawal that we're currently seeing from Afghanistan.
FDD's Long War Journal says that since the start of the withdrawal on May 1st, the Taliban has doubled the number of districts it controls, from 77 to about 160 districts. Retired General Joseph Votel says the Afghan forces still have significant capabilities, but the Taliban gains are cause for concern.
I don't think we're in a situation where this is an immediate collapse type of scenario. But the Afghan forces are going to need support.
American public support for the war plummeted in recent years, pushing U.S. leaders to call for a political solution while vowing to continue providing money and aircraft maintenance support from afar. But only time will tell whether that will be enough to prevent the Taliban from continuing its onslaught of territorial gains. Carla Babb, VOA News, The Pentagon.
We invite you to read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. Find us on Facebook and at our website, voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. North Korea shows no vaccine urgency despite new virus woes. Indonesian police block streets amid tougher COVID-19 curbs. U.S. targets Myanmar's military with another round of sanctions. Taliban capture at least a dozen districts as Afghan fighting rages. Swim caps for thick, curly hair not allowed at Tokyo Olympics. Expanded coverage of these stories and so much more can be found daily at Facebook at VOA Asia and at our voanews.com website. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Let's continue with VOA Asia. It remains Independence Day here in the United States, at least for a few more hours, with traditional fireworks and picnics. Ahead of the July 4th holiday, President Joe Biden hosted a naturalization ceremony for new Americans at the White House. His administration is also launching a government-wide effort aimed at encouraging millions of immigrants to apply to become U.S. citizens. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Swara has this report.
Every year, more than 800,000 people from around the world are naturalized and become U.S. citizens. On Friday, 21 of them took their oaths at the White House.
Please raise your right hand.
The White House naturalization ceremony is part of an effort by the administration to swear in almost 10,000 new citizens to celebrate Independence Day.
Thank you for choosing the United States of America, believing that America is worthy of your aspirations, worthy of your dreams. Making this journey, you've done more than move to a new place.
Also Friday, the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services launched an interagency initiative to encourage and help lawful permanent residents apply for citizenship.
Our country is also better today because its identity and its fabric as a nation of immigrants is stronger because of you.
There are 9 million lawful permanent residents in the U.S. who may be eligible to apply for citizenship. Immigration scholars say the push to encourage naturalization could be hampered by processing backlog.
Before the pandemic, the backlog was about 650,000. Naturalization applications are waiting to be adjudicated, and now it's up to 950,000. And of course, that's because of the pandemic and the fact that USCIS offices had to shut down for social distancing reasons. But that's a big challenge facing the agency.
In February, Biden signed executive orders aimed at streamlining immigration. But his immigration reform bill is currently languishing in Congress without enough Republican support.
I've kept my commitment and sent an immigration reform bill to the United States Congress. It includes smart border management and security and a pathway to citizenship for 11 million undocumented people in America.
During the ceremony, the president honored Sandra Lindsay as an outstanding American by choice. The Jamaican immigrant and director of nursing for critical care in New York is the first American to be vaccinated against COVID-19 outside of a clinical trial. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News at the White House.
Happening now in Asia, at least 45 people were killed, 50 injured when a Philippine military aircraft carrying troops crashed and burst into flames after missing the runway in the country's south. Nearly 100 people, most of them recent Army graduates, were on board. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's nice to have you with us today on VOA Asia. The Biden administration marked successes in the fight against coronavirus during this year's July 4th Independence Day celebrations, even as vaccine hesitancy remains high in certain parts of the United States and a new variant takes its toll. VOA's Jusesimen Oni has more on what has changed in the last year.
Rows 16 and higher, you're welcome to board.
A stark difference from a year ago.
How are you, buddy? How are you? I'm good.
This 4th of July weekend, some 47 million Americans are expected to travel by air or road, according to the American Automobile Association. That's a 40% increase from last year.
Folks, we're heading into a very different summer compared to last year. A bright summer. Faithfully, a summer of joy.
This time last year, many Americans either scaled down or opted out of celebrations marking the nation's Independence Day. This as the country battled a second wave of COVID-19 infections.
We have now a very large outbreak. There have been, as you probably know, close to 140,000 deaths, and we have several million infections. That's the sobering news.
With the Trump administration's Operation Warp Speed yet to produce an effective vaccine, the nation's COVID-19 response was primarily left up to the states, at times resulting in contradictory guidance. The number of people dying from the virus would peak to about 1,100 per day. But now, a different story.
The major change is that we have vaccines, of course, but also we have a sense of how to treat patients with COVID-19. We understand the therapies that we should be using, the ones that don't have the greatest evidence against them.
Three federally authorized vaccines are now available. And with an aggressive vaccination campaign by the White House, states, and local governments, deaths are down, averaging 256 per day.
If you look at who's being hospitalized today, who are the people getting so sick that with COVID that they need to come into the hospital? 90%+ of them are unvaccinated or partially vaccinated.
The Biden administration is celebrating the fact that more than 326 million doses have been administered and that 54% of Americans are fully vaccinated. But vaccine hesitancy remains, and the president's goal of having 70% of adults vaccinated by July 4th has fallen short.
We've seen it's been a great deal more difficult to get young people between the ages of 18 and 26 vaccinated than adults who are older than that.
Those who are unvaccinated pose a risk to the general population of spreading new and possibly more harmful COVID mutations, warns critical care doctor Tyson Bell.
Could there be another variant down the road that could potentially have the mutation that could help it escape vaccines, and then we have to go back to the drawing board for square one? That certainly is possible.
Surging outbreaks of the Delta variant have prompted new lockdowns in parts of the world battling record infections and deaths, with more than a quarter of cases in the U.S. now being attributed to the variant. The World Health Organization says vaccine distribution is a major problem.
We've got other countries, and most of them the lower middle income countries, that have vaccinated little more than 1% of their population. We've been beating the drum more and more loudly, saying to countries, if you've got doses, share them now.
Medical experts agree that any hopes for taming the pandemic and having an even more normal July 4th holiday next year depend on a more coordinated global effort. Jason Semeoni, VOA News, Washington.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. Authorities in central Japan say at least two people died in a devastating landslide at a hot spring resort Saturday after several days of heavy rain. 10 people were rescued. About 20 remain missing. You'll find this and all the big stories through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, life in New York City is slowly returning to normal after the coronavirus pandemic hit the city hard more than 15 months ago. But certain changes caused by the pandemic are here to stay, at least for a while. Nina Veshneva has the story, narrated by Anna Rice.
Street music and outdoor dining parties have returned to New York after 15 long months of restrictions and lockdowns aimed at stopping the spread of COVID-19.
You can sit down in more restaurants without having to give like names and get a temperature check. So it's heading in the right direction, I'd say.
I kind of feel back to normal, kind of, almost there. Yeah, feels good. Good to be in New York.
I don't know, I just want the world to heal. Thought I could make it better. I had time to kill, so I was like, why don't I come outside and, you know, try to make some sounds, spread some love, you know?
Music festivals, farmers markets, and other events are making up for a year of forced inactivity. Union Square is packed with people, and all are 2 meters apart, even though city authorities have lifted social distancing and other pandemic restrictions imposed in March 2020. By late June this year, the number of people in New York City testing positive for COVID-19 was the lowest it has ever been. In New York State alone, over 20 million vaccine doses have been administered, and 9 million of those went to New York City residents. Despite the relaxation of restrictions, many are still wearing masks, even outside.
Even as I walked down the street, people said they lifted the restrictions, but I was like, I can wait a day or two.
You don't know who's vaccinated, who isn't vaccinated, you know, all of that. It's still in flux. So, no, I think we have a good ways to go.
Despite the scorching summer heat, street vendors are also wearing masks for their own safety and for their clients' peace of mind.
We just back to work, but the life is not back like normal. It needs time to be okay.
Just 62% of Manhattan office workers will be heading back to their desks in September, and they will spend only 3 days a week at most in the office, according to a survey by the Partnership for New York City. Almost 40% of office workers say they are ready to resign if they cannot work from home a few days a week. There is also concern about the safety of using public transportation again.
It's hard. Yeah, getting on the subway and walking around, even though I know the restrictions are lifted and we're outside, I still sometimes feel a little guilty even though I know I'm fine.
New York authorities have launched a program to help reopen small businesses hurt by the pandemic. The $11 million program, called New York City Business Quick Start, aims to help some 50,000 small businesses by guaranteeing quick responses to inquiries and cutting processing time by 50%. For Nina Vishnova in New York, Anna Rice, VOA News.
Making headlines in Asia, two astronauts made the first spacewalk outside China's new orbital station to work on setting up a 50-foot-long robotic arm. The third crew member stayed inside. The astronauts arrived June 17th for a 3-month mission aboard China's third orbital station. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, Flags of Valor is a company that makes wooden American flags and provides employment for U.S. combat veterans. The company also raises money to support veteran assistance organizations. VOA's Deborah Block has the story.
Eric Wilson is cutting wood to be used for creating handcrafted wooden American flags at Flags of Valor in Winchester, Virginia. After serving in combat with the U.S. military in Iraq and Afghanistan, he says the American flag means a great deal to him.
Here in the U.S., we have the freedom to express whatever religion we want to practice, have the freedom of speech, everything else. You have the freedom to express who you want to be. And that's how I see the American flag.
The craftsmen are veterans, including Jacob Young.
I fought for this flag.
Flags of Valor grew from a home project to a manufacturing company in 2015 that sells about 30,000 wooden flags of different sizes each year. Each one is a proud work of art by the veteran who puts their signature on it. Co-founder Brian Stortz, a former Army paratrooper and Air Force Special Operations pilot, began crafting the flags at home as he recuperated from an injury during a deployment in Afghanistan.
What I found was it was very therapeutic, you know, taking raw materials and painting and sanding and turning it into something beautiful, especially, you know, the symbol of our country, which is the American flag.
Later, along with Joe Seamus, another Air Force pilot, Flags of Valor was born.
I think what's made us successful was our devotion from the very beginning to being made in America, to employing veterans, and to giving back.
He says Flags of Valor was founded on philanthropy first, and then profit. So far, the company has raised $1.5 million for veteran and first responder charities.
We do support charities that treat post-traumatic stress. We do support charities that support the families of the fallen. That's very important to us because oftentimes they're not getting all the support that they need.
Besides the typical red, white, and blue flag, there is also a black and white version.
That's the subdued flag. That's the black and white version that we sell that highlights those people that wore that flag in combat.
Stortz appreciates the patriotism and sacrifice of the veterans, who he says make great employees.
I think the unique thing about having combat veterans is that, you know, Joe and I are also combat veterans, so we understand how everyone thinks.
Wilson appreciates the camaraderie that makes him feel at home.
You have that fraternity feeling in the military. This is, you know, that brotherhood feeling.
Deborah Block, VOA News, Winchester, Virginia.
We, of course, have seen many pictures of George Washington, the first American president. All you have to do is take a look at a $1 bill. American political figures have changed a lot since the days of the Founding Fathers. A British musician wondered what they would look like if they were around today. Maxim Moskalkov has the story.
What would America's first president, George Washington, look like today if he were a modern politician? A 23-year-old British musician George Hardy used Photoshop to imagine our modern-day founding father. He then posted the result on Reddit and hit the jackpot. His newly created image went viral in no time. It was reposted tens of thousands of times on almost every social network imaginable. Many took time to ponder how George Washington would have carried himself these days. One criticism centered around Washington's suit.
Every other instance of his adult life, he's in fairly sumptuous materials. He liked a nice line. His clothes fit well. And he had presence in them. And I just don't see that in the modern rendering. The other thing that threw me off was a sort of gentleness in his demeanor in his eyes, and Washington commanded respect without saying a word. And I don't get that feeling from this photo.
Another mistake George Hardy made, according to Coe, is Washington's hair. On Hardy's image, it is short and fine, while in reality, America's first president had amazing hair. People even thought it was a powdered wig, which was not true. One of Washington's slaves was his personal hairdresser and took care of his hair. Coe also says Washington's facial expression isn't quite accurate.
In this modern rendering, what the creator did capture is a thin, straight line of a smile. I don't think it quite has the heft that we would expect, but George Washington's mouth looks like that in almost every portrait, with slight differences because it depended on the pair of dentures that he was wearing. By the time he was inaugurated president, he only had one tooth left.
George Hardy wasn't the only one who tried to create a modern interpretation of George Washington's portrait. Comic book writer Magdalene Visaggio created her own version.
I actually used a base image of Joe Biden. And then took this a painting of Washington, a younger painting of Washington, and used FaceApp.
But Visaggio didn't stop there and created a whole series of portraits of American presidents and historical figures, including Julius Caesar, Nero, Shakespeare, and many others.
I did the first 18 presidents, so that's Washington through Grant. After Grant, photography starts to hit a certain level of quality.
And the trend seems to be contagious. Graphic designer Becca Saladin created a whole account on Instagram called Royalty Now, where she posts modern-day versions of the portraits of famous people of the past, each accompanied with a short story about them. Maxim Moskalkov for VOA News, Washington.
That's all the time we have for today's program. We thank you for joining us today on VOA Asia. Continue online. You'll find us at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We also thank our team, Service Chief Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, Amy Hybels, and Chris Cascao. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.